Chapter 133. The Golden Dustman sinks again. The evening of that day, being one of the reading evenings at the Bower, Mr. Boffin kissed Mrs. Boffin after a 5 o'clock dinner, and trotted out, nursing his big stick in both arms, so that, as of old, it seemed to be whispering in his ear. He carried so very attentive an expression on his countenance, that it appeared as if the confidential discourse of the big stick required to be followed closely. Mr. Boffin's face was like the face of a thoughtful listener to an intricate communication, and, in trotting along, he occasionally glanced at that companion with the look of a man who was interposing the remark, "You don't mean it." Mr. Boffin and his stick went on alone together, until they arrived at certain crossways, where they would be likely to fall in with anyone coming, at about the same time, from Clerkenwell to the Bower. Here they stopped, and Mr. Boffin consulted his watch. "It wants 5 minutes, good, to Venus's appointment," said he. "I'm rather early." But Venus was a punctual man, and, even as Mr. Boffin replaced his watch in its pocket, was to be descried coming towards him. He quickened his pace on seeing Mr. Boffin already at the place of meeting, and was soon at his side. "Thank'ee, Venus," said Mr. Boffin. "Thank'ee. It would not have been very evident why he thanked the anatomist, but for his furnishing the explanation in what he went on to say. "All right, Venus, all right. Now that you've been to see me, and have consented to keep up the appearance before Wegg of remaining in it for a time, I have got a sort of a backer." "All right, Venus."
Thank'ee, Venus.
Mr. Venus shook the proffered hand with a modest air, and they pursued the direction of the Bower. "Do you think Wegg is likely to drop down upon me tonight, Venus?" inquired Mr. Boffin, wistfully, as they went along.
"I think he is, sir."
"Have you any particular reason for thinking so, Venus?"
Well, sir, returned
that personage, "the fact is, he has given me another look in, to make sure of what he calls our stock in trade being correct, and he has mentioned his intention, that he was not to be put off beginning with you the very next time you should come." And this, hinted Mr. Venus, delicately, "being the very next time, you know, sir," "why, therefore you suppose he'll turn to at the grindstone, eh, Wegg?" said Mr. Boffin.
"Just so, sir."
Mr. Boffin took his nose in his hand, as if it were already excoriated, and the sparks were beginning to fly out of that feature. "He's a terrible fellow, Venus. He's an awful fellow. I don't know how ever I shall go through with it. You must stand by me, Venus, like a good man and true. You'll do all you can to stand by me, Venus, won't you?" Mr. Venus replied with the assurance that he would, and Mr. Boffin, looking anxious and dispirited, pursued the way in silence until they rang at the Bower gate. The stumping approach of Wegg was soon heard behind it, and as it turned upon its hinges he became visible with his hand on the lock.
"Mr. Boffin, sir?"
he remarked. "You're quite a stranger."
Yes.
"I've been otherwise occupied, Wegg."
"Have you indeed, sir?"
returned the literary gentleman, with a threatening sneer.
"Ha! I've been looking for you, sir, rather what I may call specially."
"You don't say so, Wegg?"
"Yes, I do say so, sir.
And if you hadn't come round to me tonight, dash my wig, if I wouldn't have come round to you tomorrow. Now, I tell you, nothing wrong, I hope, Wegg?"
"Oh no, Mr. Boffin," was the ironical answer.
"Nothing wrong. What should be wrong in Boffin's Bower? Step in, sir."
apostrophe, if you will come to the bower I've shaded for you, your bench and the roses all spangled with dew. Will you, come to the bower? Oh, won't you, come to the bower? Apostrophe, an unholy glare of contradiction and offense shone in the eyes of Mr. Wegg, as he turned the key on his patron, after ushering him into the yard with this vocal quotation. Mr. Boffin's air was crestfallen and submissive, whispered Wegg to Venus, as they crossed the yard behind him. Look at the worm and minion, he's down in the mouth already. Apostrophe whispered Venus to Wegg. That's because I've told him. I've prepared the way for you. Apostrophe, Mr. Boffin, entering the usual chamber, laid his stick upon the settle usually reserved for him, thrust his hands into his pockets, and, with his shoulders raised and his hat drooping back upon them, looking disconsolately at Wegg. My friend and partner, Mr. Venus, gives me to understand, apostrophe remarked that man of might, addressing him, that you are aware of our power over you. Now, when you have took your hat off, we'll go into that pint. Apostrophe, Mr. Boffin shook it off with one shake, so that it dropped on the floor behind him, and remained in his former attitude with his former rueful look upon him. First of all, I may going to call you Boffin, for short, apostrophe said Wegg. If you don't like it, it's open to you to lump it. Apostrophe, I don't mind it, Wegg, apostrophe Mr. Boffin replied. That's lucky for you, Boffin. Now, do you want to be read to? Apostrophe, I don't particularly care about it tonight, Wegg. Apostrophe, because if you did want to, apostrophe pursued Mr. Wegg, the brilliance eye of whose point was dimmed by his having been unexpectedly answered. You wouldn't be. I've been your slave long enough. I'm not to be trampled underfoot by a dustman anymore. With the single exception of the salary, I renounce the whole and total situation. Apostrophe, since you say it is to be so, Wegg, apostrophe returned Mr. Boffin, with folded hands, I suppose it must be. Apostrophe, I suppose it must be, apostrophe Wegg retorted. Next, to clear the ground, before coming to business, you've placed in this yard a skulking, a sneaking, and a sniffing, menial. Apostrophe, he hadn't a cold in his head, when I sent him here, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin. Boffin, apostrophe retorted Wegg, I warn you not to attempt a joke with me. Apostrophe, here Mr. Venus interposed, and remarked that he conceived Mr. Boffin, to have taken the description literally. The rather, for as much as he, Mr. Venus, had himself supposed the menial, to have contracted an affliction or a habit of the nose, involving a serious drawback on the pleasures of social intercourse, until he had discovered that Mr. Wegg's description of him was to be accepted as merely figurative. Anyhow, and everyhow, apostrophe said Wegg, he has been planted here, and he is here. Now, I won't have him here. So I call upon Boffin, before I say another word, to fetch him in, and send him packing to the right about. Apostrophe, the unsuspecting Sloppy was at that moment airing his many buttons within view of the window. Mr. Boffin, after a short interval of impassive discomfiture, opened the window, and beckoned him to come in. I call upon Boffin, apostrophe said Wegg, with one arm akimbo and his head on one side, like a bullying counsel pausing for an answer from a witness, to inform that menial, that I am master here. Apostrophe, in humble obedience, when the button gleaming Sloppy entered, Mr. Boffin said to him, Sloppy, my fine fellow, Mr. Wegg is master here. He doesn't want you, and you are to go from here. Apostrophe, for good. Apostrophe, Mr. Wegg severely stipulated. For good, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin. Sloppy stared, with both his eyes and all his buttons, and his mouth wide open, but was without loss of time escorted forth by Silas Wegg, pushed out at the yard gate by the shoulders, and locked out. The atom spear, apostrophe said Wegg, stumping back into the room again, a little reddened by his late exertion, is now freer for the purposes of respiration. Mr. Venus, sir, take a chair. Boffin, you may sit down. Apostrophe, Mr. Boffin, still with his hands ruefully stuck in his pockets, sat on the edge of the settle, shrunk into a small compass, and eyed the potent Silas with conciliatory looks. This gentleman, apostrophe said Silas Wegg, pointing out Venus, this gentleman, Boffin, is more milk and watery with you than I'll be. But he hasn't borne the Roman yoke as I have, nor yet he hasn't been required to pander to your depraved appetite for miserly characters. Apostrophe, I never meant, my dear Wegg apostrophe Mr. Boffin was beginning, when Silas stopped him. Hold your tongue, Boffin. Answer when you're called upon to answer. You'll find you've got quite enough to do. Now, you're aware, are you, that you're in possession of property to which you've no right at all? Are you aware of that? Apostrophe, Venus tells me so, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, glancing towards him for any support he could give. I tell you so, apostrophe returned Silas. Now, here's my hat, Boffin, and here's my walking stick. Trifle with me, and instead of making a bargain with you, I'll put on my hat and take up my walking stick, and go out, and make a bargain with the rightful owner. Now, what do you say? Apostrophe apostrophe, I say, apostrophe returned Mr. Boffin, leaning forward in alarmed appeal, with his hands on his knees, that I am sure I don't want to trifle. Wegg. I have said so to Venus. Apostrophe, you certainly have, sir, apostrophe said Venus. You're too milk and watery with our friend, you are indeed, apostrophe remonstrated Silas, with a disapproving shake of his wooden head. Then at once you confess yourself desirous to come to terms, do you, Boffin? Before you answer, keep this hat well in your mind, and also this walking stick. Apostrophe, I am willing, Wegg, to come to terms. Apostrophe, willing won't do, Boffin. I won't take willing. Are you desirous to come to terms? Do you ask to be allowed as a favor to come to terms? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Wegg again planted his arm, and put his head on one side. Yes. Apostrophe, yes what? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the inexorable Wegg. I won't take yes. I'll have it out of you in full, Boffin. Apostrophe, dear me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried that unfortunate gentleman. I am so worded. I ask to be allowed to come to terms, supposing your document is all correct. Apostrophe, don't you be afraid of that, apostrophe said Silas, poking his head at him. You shall be satisfied by seeing it. Mr. Venus will show it you, and I'll hold you the while. Then you want to know what the terms are. Is that about the sum and substance of it? Will you or won't you answer, Boffin? Apostrophe apostrophe for he had paused a moment. Dear me. Apostrophe apostrophe cried that unfortunate gentleman again. I am worded to that degree that I'm almost off my head. You hurry me so. Be so good as name the terms, Wegg. Apostrophe, now, Mark, Boffin, apostrophe returned Silas. Mark 'em well, because they're the lowest terms and the only terms. You will throw your mound, the little mound as comes to you anyway, into the general estate, and then you will divide the whole property into three parts, and you will keep one and hand over the others. Apostrophe, Mr. Venus's mouth screwed itself up, as Mr. Boffin's face lengthened itself, Mr. Venus not having been prepared for such a rapacious demand. Now, wait a bit, Boffin, apostrophe Wegg proceeded, there's something more. You've been a-squandering this property laying some of it out on yourself. That won't do. You've bought a house. You'll be charged for it. Apostrophe, I shall be ruined, Wegg. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Boffin faintly protested. Now, wait a bit, Boffin, there's something more. You will leave me in sole custody of these mounds till they're all laid low. If any valuables should be found in them, I'll take care of such valuables. You will produce your contract for the sale of the mounds, that we may know to a penny what they're worth, and he will make out likewise an exact list of all the other property. When the mounds is cleared away to the last shovel full, the final division will come off. Apostrophe, dreadful, dreadful, dreadful. I shall die in a workhouse. Apostrophe, cried the Golden Dustman, with his hands to his head. Now, wait a bit, Boffin, there's something more. You've been unlawfully ferreting about this yard. You've been seen in the act of ferreting about this yard. Two pair of eyes at the present moment brought to bear upon you, have seen you dig up a Dutch bottle. Apostrophe, it was mine, Wegg, apostrophe, protested Mr. Boffin. I put it there myself. Apostrophe, what was in it, Boffin? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Silas. Not gold, not silver, not banknotes, not jewels, nothing that you could turn into money, Wegg, upon my soul. Apostrophe, apostrophe, prepared, Mr. Venus, apostrophe, said Wegg, turning to his partner with a knowing and superior air, for an elusive answer on the part of our moldy friend here, I have hit out a little idea which I think will meet your views. We charge that bottle against our moldy friend at £1,000. Apostrophe, Mr. Boffin drew a deep groan. Now, wait a bit, Boffin, there's something more. In your employment is an underhanded sneak named Rokesmith. It won't answer to have him about while this business of ours is. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.